Medish is saying is that the primitive person thinks it's the substance that causes the problem. It's water. It's the substance that causes the problem. We know it's not the substance. It's the main meriva. It's the quality. It's the fact that the person falls short of their goal, and the chait even of the greatest, the Adon Anavim, was with regard to a momentary lapse at Mei Meriva, was really what was the chait and what prevented him from being successful ultimately in bringing Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Chazal really are trying to bring out. Not a story about Stachini Paro. They're trying to show you the in Bederach Mashal, what they're doing there is showing you the difference between the primitive mind and Yahadus. And this theme recurs in the Torah. You have the same thing with the Ketores. With Aaron, the Kachas HaMachta, the Ketores destroyed the 250 by Korach, and then he was instructed to take the Bedavka Ketores. Why again? That theme comes up many times in the Torah. To demonstrate that it's not the substance. That's a primitive idea, that certain substances one should avoid. The substance causes harm. It's not the substance at all. And that's nonsensical, and that's idolatrous. That's what those are. But it's the individual. The individual's lave is the determinant. The same Ketores can cause death. The same Ketores can stop a Magefa. That's the idea. Let me talk about that now, okay, since you raised the question of Amalek. The question of Amalek is, what is Amalek? It's an interesting thing. There's a chazal that says that with the snake, even though the snake was destroyed, but the snake was matil zuama beisha. Okay, there was some kind of contamination, contaminated the isha in some way. So Chazal say, it's on the pasuk in Chazal say like this: be sure it's eisa she yeshna po veisa she nenu po. So Chazal say, b'shor shebo nochash al chavo hitel bo zuama. So he put some kind of a poison, so to speak. He contaminated her. U'kishe amdu Yisrael al har Sinai, when the Jews stood at Sinai, poska zuamasam. So that zuama was gone, was removed. This contamination was removed. V'chein agerim, da'afa pidinu lo hava, even though they weren't there at Sinai, mazlayu hava. There, it means a part of them was there. Part of them was there. Literally, dichsiv es asher yeshno po ve'es asher einenu po. Okay, so it means to say that the es asher einenu po means to say all of Kal Yisrael and also the gerim, even though they weren't here. It means both. It means the future generation. It means those who were, even though the gerim weren't here, but they were here. Okay, yeah. So What is the zuama? The zuama of the nachash. We explain that the nachash really was a personification of arrogance. That's, I mean, what could be greater arrogance than for an individual to try to attribute motivation and ulterior motives to God, to the Creator. I mean, that's the height of arrogance. But you see that combination leads to extreme arrogance. To extreme arrogance. What do Chazal mean? Chazal mean that a part of that arrogance somehow or other did penetrate Chava. And man does have that in his nature. But Maimon Har Sinai removed it. Because what is Sinai? Sinai is the objective realization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The objective realization being present at Sinai is something which counters. That's what counters the human arrogance. That's for Horoshin, the Vayarom, the Yomsoa, and they were frightened, they were afraid. It means that the experience of Sinai encounters on an emotional plane that other emotion. Okay? That's what it means. That's what Chazal means. Chazal mean to say by that, that without the experience of Sinai, that emotion is always going to be troublesome, and me will not be able to overcome it. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. But I want you to understand what Sinai means. Sinai does not necessarily mean being present at that mind that are Sinai. That's what the pasuk says. Eish asher yeshno po, v'eish asher einenu po. Why? Because really Sinai is an experience we have all the time. A person can always have the experience of Sinai, and that's through Limud Torah. Simply through Limud Torah. When a person sees, when a person learns Torah and sees the infinite Chachma of Torah, he immediately is in the presence of the Shekhinah. I mean, that's what Chazal say. When one person learns the Shekhinah, it means to say that he witnesses the Sinai. And that's what Allah is, that you, the way the Magid Shir and the Meturgaman and the whole system of teaching Torah Shebal Peh is just like an imitation of Sinai. So Sinai is something which every person can experience. It's something which a person can always experience when he involves himself in Talmud Torah. But so Chazal is saying that the Geirim, the Geirei HaTzedek, even though they weren't there, Maslayu HaVasim, it means that somehow or other, a part of them, they're very fortunate, but somehow or other, a part of them escaped. It means to say that they're not plagued with that disease. He who is plagued with that kind of a disease could never become a Geir. Because a Geir is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, and the Nachash can't be Mekabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. It's an impossibility. Tanat HaDasasa, impossibility. So Klal Yisrael was removed through the experience of the event at Sinai. But these Geirim that come, Maslayu HaVasam, somehow or other, they escaped the contamination of the Nachash, and that's why they were able to be Megayah. It's an interesting thing. The Medrash says, we're Mekabel Geirim from all the nations except Amalek. Amalek is the only nation not Mekabel Geirim. The Medrash has a couple of Midrashim. And that's why after the Second World War, so anyone that claimed that they were Germans and they had Geirus, and a lot of people had Geirus, they can't find the papers, they weren't accepted because there was a time when they said that they're Amalek and we're not Mekabel any Geirim from them. It's a Medrash, based on a Medrash. So that basically follows through exactly with what we were saying, namely that the chait of the Nachash, which means the combination of the instinctual and the intelligence, results in a kind of arrogance which prevents an individual from being the Kabbal Ol Malchus Shamayim, and that's basically Amalek. I'm saying I'm the Kabbal Geirim from Amalek. That's why, if you remember, I'm not going to go over now, but in the entire Megillah, I mean, what is Haman's major attribute? V'chol zayin ha'shoveli. It means limitless gaiva, basically. Limitless gaiva. The Medrash says that Amalek is Deus. Amalek is gaiva. That's what Amalek is. And that's really the personification of the Nachash, of the creature of the Nachash. So Chazal are very consistent. I mean, the whole of the system is very consistent, straight through, with the concept of Amalek, with the concept of Har Sinai and the concept of Haman. I mean, basically, it goes straight through. As I said, it's very difficult to know precisely. I mean, what? In my opinion, when Chazal say that they had intercourse, I believe what that means is very strong identification. That's what it means. It means very strong identification, basically. So, yeah, because Chazal is Derech Mashal. But at any rate, not literal, it means to say that she was affected by her identification with the Nachash and the Yisim Kelokim and Tiyodei Elokim, that there was a part of her that was affected in a permanent way. Because you understand, everything that happened in that parsha had permanent value. Because that was really the parsha where Adam was emerging. The whole structure of Adam was being made in that parsha. The conscience and the chait and everything that was... That parsha is really the parsha where the Torah goes in detail and shows you how Adam came into existence, his whole psyche, his personality. So things that happened in that parsha had some kind of permanent effect. That's what Chazal was saying. That Hitl Bazuma, it wasn't just, you know, she had this meeting with the Nachash, and that was it. And it had a permanent effect on her. Okay, yes. Now, Barbara, it's one of her runs, is because the Yisim Kelakim Bore Alamos, that emotion could be transferred, expressed in childbearing. So therefore, the antidote was that it should be a painful experience, so the person can't really enjoy the experience and become involved in the fantasy of being a Bore Alamos, a creator. You see, the arrogance of being a creator. That's basically correct. It's a very good point.
Right.
The only way to escape is v'hibit al nachash and chosh v'choy. V'hibit. V'hibit means to look into it. Lo hibit davon b'yakov, lo olam v'yisrael. I mean, it means to look into it. If you look into the nachash, then you have a chance. If you don't, then basically it's all over. I mean, that's a good question. You're right. It means, what Rabbi Rosenthal is saying is that it seems, I mean, it does, I mean, again, you know, it's very difficult to judge quantitative factors, but it does seem from the Torah that man's fate is kind of sealed in a very bad way after the parsha of Adam Arishon. I mean, it does seem that way from the Psukim. And Chazal appeared to support it. And I've mentioned this one time in the statement of Rabbi Yechanan, with regard to Echa, with regard to Bechira, that really that man didn't have Bechira till the Torah. I mean, what does it mean? It means to say that the unfortunate thing about man is that man has difficulty even getting himself into the realm of Bechira. I mean, it's difficult enough once he's there. And with all the assistance of Chachmas HaTorah, with all the inner struggle, it's a very difficult thing, and can only be accomplished, never totally, but only to various degrees, variation of degree. But it is true that most of humanity falls by the wayside because they never even get into the arena of Bechira. They're never even there. They don't even understand. They don't know the difference in their emotions, their intellect. They don't understand what world is playing and what convictions are coming from where. I mean, they have no concept. The function, that's the function of the Amei Haaretz, is totally different than the function of the Talmud Chacham and the intelligent person. And of course, you need Torah. Reina Satla Fenecha Yom Achayim Vamavis Uvacharta Bachayim. That's only through Torah. But without Torah, you're not even in the arena of Bechira. And that's correct. That follows from the description of the Torah, that man's fate was sealed in Sheshis and Bereishis in a very difficult, bad way. And that's what I mean. Of course, that's included with Chazal mean. Heim Sham Dol Har Sinai Paskas Almasan. I mean, it's with regard to everything, basically. But they single out this particular emotion because the arrogance of man is the worst emotion of man. And that's really, the Rambam wrote a very special tshuva on that, on the Machla Hanushis. That the specific disorder of man, which is arrogance, this is unique. This is unique in man. No animal has it, and it's something which defies intelligence, and yet it's the most powerful force in man. Human arrogance. It's epitomized ultimately in Amalek. But of course, it exists in every person. Ram says it exists in every person to some degree. To some degree, it exists. But what Chazal is saying is that you must have it down to a certain level before you can have Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Because if it's not beneath a certain level, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim becomes impossible. Yes. I just want to mention that actually, I mean, in the Pshuto, but in the Pshuto Shel Chazal, what Chazal are saying is, they really are, in a sense, what they're doing is, they're being Meshabeach the Gerim, even more than Klal Yisrael, because they're saying that Klal Yisrael was Amdol Har Sinai, so that experience was an experience for them and for future generations. So they had it easy in terms of Paskas Omasim. But the Ger, he's unique. He's Maslaylav awesome. It means that somehow or other he partakes of that perfection. That's an amazing. It's an amazing statement. I mean, there's a statement in Shalmi Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says the Gerim are better than us, because Rish Lakish says we were forced. We had to do. We had no choice. But even though it's not Sevedishma, based on the Chazal, I mean, it means that the Rav one time explained, it means that once you were in the presence of that thing, you couldn't say no. I mean, that was it. I mean, they said Nas Vedishma, but they could have reconsidered, but they, there was no way after that. So basically, we were assisted by the experience of Sinai, Rish Lakish says. And he says, but the gear is coming on its own. He says, this is a much higher level. I mean, this Chazal is also pointing to that idea. Yeah, that's why I said this. That's why I said the snake didn't actually sink us. If you look at the pasuk, God doesn't ask the snake anything. Just says, Orato mikol abehimo mikol chayas asada. That's what it means. Orato mikol abehimo mikol chayas asada, which, according to us, is simply pshuto kamashmal. Very simple. That is true. I mean, that is true. The Russia can't escape by saying it's an interesting thing. I mean, you're asking some kind of it sounds like a seeming contradiction. That on the one hand, you're saying that most people don't have the opportunity of Bechira. On the other hand, the man is still responsible. Amalek can't say, I wasn't on Hasinai, so I have a right to be a Russia gummer. Apparently, there's a limit. It's true that a person might not be in the realm of Bechira, but Amalek is conscious Rishus. That means that he's responsible. It's not a matter of, that's Bechira Lara. That is chaya for. There's a different level where a person is not a minasinai, okay, fine, but he has a kind of innocuous existence. But a molek is a bocher bara, and he's responsible for his actions. There's no question about that. Yeah, the Zev is right. There is a chazal that has a dialogue between the nachash and man. That's correct. Chazal say that. So they say that that man is the nachash. Man is nachash, why speaks why kill somebody with poison? So nachash retorts, and why do you speak lashon hara? Where's the Amar Shlokish? My dechsivim yishoch anachash blo lachash vein yisrael lebala lashon losid lovo miskapsos subos kol achayos eitzel anachash v'omim lo ari doreis vochel zev torei vochel atoman oyesh loch Amar lahem vein yisrael lebala lashon. So how come person speaks lashon hara? Yeah, that's correct. So you see that that Chazal agree with the concept that the nachash is there as an instrument, as an object, a kind of object which psychologically reminds man of his evil nature and causes him to reflect upon it. Yeah. Mibnei shehishi odam arishon umizbayishin imo mesapre lashon hara. That's correct. Very good. That's excellent. The Rashi is perfect. Rashi is beautiful. Rashi shows that the nachash is used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an instrument of reminding man of his evil nature. Very good. Excellent. If you want, now I'll get to your question and also what I'm going to try to, I mean, of course, in the Shia, you know, I mean, I try to show that the position that the Nachash is allegorical is basically untenable because it's inconsistent, and you can't interpret the Torah inconsistently when you're up against a big problem. It's a nice way out, but it's not honest. But now I would like to defend the Shitas that hold that the Nachash really is allegorical. I'd like to show why they had a right in this instance to do so. I'm not saying that I'm going along with it. I'm just being metaritz there, the approach. Because it seems, as I said, most Rishonim do not take it, the Chazal neither, but there are those that say it. Okay? So, I mean, you have to consider their opinion as well. I believe that the reason why they had a right to do that is only in this case, unique in this case. Why? Because basically what they were saying was that the nachash is really man when he is completely controlled by the instinctual. In other words, Amalek is the nachash. The nachash is man when he's in a certain type of when his soul is in a certain type of state. He's the nachash. So why, however, so you'll tell me, so why is this the only case that it's allegorical? The answer is because they hold that because of Kavara Brios, the Torah had a right. It was a matter. Yeah, that's right. That Kavara Brios is a matter. Okay, that's what they held. That's what I believe the Shita was. That only in this case could you say that it's an allegory, because since it's a matter of Kavara Brios, the Torah could not give the name Adam to man when he is in such a state. So Vanachash Arum really means Adam in that state. And Adam was in such a state. So he was Arum Mikol Chayas Asada. You say, Or Atom Mikol Abed Mikol Chayas Asada, according to them, means Adam, who is in such a state, is more cursed than any animal in existence. That's what it means, basically. And the reason why the Torah was able to do it is because in this case, Kavara Brios dictates that it should be in disguise. You cannot call that Adam. So therefore the term Nachash was used. Okay? I mean, I admit it's a good question. That's a very good question. Amalek is a good question. How come he's culpable? He's responsible, and he's considered a Rasha Marusha. I just descriptively said that when evil reaches a certain point, then man can't say he didn't have bechira. It's a different kind of a state. I mean, it's something which deserves analysis. But basically, on a superficial level, it means that an individual that follows his instinct to that level where he denies all of reality. I mean, like a good study, of course, of Hitler, Yimach Shema. I mean, you just read about his life and you see that he is the personification of evil, the personification of Amalek. And his denial in the face of facts and reality, the man never backs off. The evil goes with him to the last moment. Even when he saw everything was gone, his last words were, make sure to destroy the Jews. That's the individual. His whole world collapsed. I mean, basically, his whole idea, his whole system collapsed, and he saw it collapse. But the evil was with him to his last breath. I mean, that's a total denial of reality. That's the ultimate form of evil. But that form of evil, the man, you cannot say the man's not responsible, because it's reached a degree of a clash with reality that for him to maintain that is a bechira bara. Is a bechir bara. I'm just answering superficially. I mean, there's a lot to go, but that's basically what it means. Yes. So according to them, when it says vanochashaya arum, it means man under that state where he gave in completely to his. He was operating completely under the instinctual. He was lapsing. It means it was a part. It was man going up and back. In other words, there was the other part. And one party was, it means man in two different phases, two different states. The Nachash is in one state, and the other state is when she was thinking herself, and she's going up and back, because man is dichotomized. That's the way they learn. That's the way they learn the Marshal. Yeah. I mean, the last part, I'd have to think about it. I mean, what exactly it means. I mean, I don't have to say something that, you could say almost anything. It lends itself to a lot of pshat. But I think Va'afa Tochal, I think, is something where you can be a little more secure, according to that pshat. Va'afa Tochal really means, Va'afa Tochal Yimechayecha means tremendous frustration. That's what it means. It means that man's egoistic strivings are always in a state of frustration. It's Va'afa Tochal. Basically, he's never satisfied. It's like a person that's hungry and wants something that tastes good and constantly gets offer. So he has a momentary enjoyment, but basically, kol yimechayecha is ofatocha. That's what I think the interpretation. I mean, I said last week I don't like to get into those type of things. Are very easy to say and hard to support. Okay, but why it's possible according to the Shita that the only thing in Maisa Bereishis is an allegory because of the fact that this is a bazillion Adam. A bazillion Adam. You can't, more than a bazillion Adam, actually can't call it Adam. It's not appropriate to call, when Adam is a creature that when he's in a certain state, he's not deserving of the term Adam. Because I'll say that. Adam kiamas bo, atem kriyam Adam, veinu mosolam kriyam Adam. So it means to say that in the sipa, mice, if the term Adam were used, it would be inappropriate. It's not appropriate to use that term. Because man is the only creature that he doesn't have a singular nature, so you can't use one term to identify him. You have to identify him in a certain state. In a certain state, he's identified as Adam. In another state, he's identified as Nachash. So therefore, it's impossible for the Torah, it'll be impossible for the Torah to use the term of Adam. According to their opinion, that would explain why, in this case alone, you could have the idea of an allegory. Masha Enikin in the other areas of creation, there's no, we can't be an allegory because there's no reason for it. Okay? Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. So the, right. Yeah. So the keen insight into psychology, that's the question of the keen insight into psychology, so the answer now emerges naturally. Why? Because if you want to see what his insight into psychology is like, you need only look at a Malik. Same kind of insight. You have a perfect study. You can study a Malik, you study Hitler, Yamach Shemo, and that's the kind of insight. That's exactly what it is. As I said, I think I mentioned last week that no one really troubled themselves to try to define it. It'd be an interesting thing to do, but it's a study. And Yahadis holds that you have to master everything through knowledge. But there you have it, basically. That's the ultimate Nachash HaKadmoni, is a Malik, and you want to know what kind of insights he had? You could study it on a first-hand level. Kazudara is something else. Kazudara means that once man has a certain ego, so he has to work. He has to work. That's what it says. Okay? Okay? Then it says the code for Dada Yismilcha is a qualification of Bezeis HaPechatolachan. So it means to say that's why this curse is something you can't get out of. Because if a person doesn't do anything, so then he remains unfortunate, unsatisfied. Like the people that retire, they feel like they have no value. They don't feel like they have any self-worth. So the person has to work in order to give him that sense of self-worth. Then, but if he wouldn't have codes for Dardar, then he'd really take off on that. So the Torah didn't want that either. So the codes for Dardar knocks him down, because yeah, he produces, but then he comes in the next day's codes for Dardar. He has to go work harder. It's not exactly like he thought. These very different things happen, so it knocks down that emotion. So basically, what Yahadis is saying in Sheishis Yimei Bereishis is really that man is a balancing act. In other words, only every emotion has to be counterbalanced so that the Seichel HaNushi can have an opportunity to work. Because if any emotion were too powerful, it would knock out the function of the Seichel HaNushi. That's basically what the parasha is teaching. That's called Dardar, B'zeis Pachdor HaLechem. Every emotion he's drawn to it, but then there's dissatisfaction, and that gives an opportunity for the Seichel, for the mind, to intervene and to function. Okay, good question. Why the ones that learn an allegory don't want to learn that the Nachash was real? Because they have other problems, how the Nachash spoke, many problems in the parsha. So they chose to avoid those kind of problems by saying that the Nachash is allegorical. Yeah, there's one last point that I'll mention. I don't really have anything on it, but I think it's something interesting that sometimes, you know, you have to leave an area with something to think about. But the question we raised last week, and that is that the last point I wanted to mention was that there is something strange in the parsha, because what happens is like this, that it says Vayomer hanocha shel isha lo mos temusin ki yodei elokim ki b'yom hachocha mem nifcha nechem yisim ke lakim yodei tov v'ra. Okay, so yisim ke lakim means you'll be a superior kind of being, and God knows this, and he wants to be the only one. He doesn't want anybody else to be in that category. Okay, Vatera Isha Kitova Itzla Machol, Vishisava Ulainaim, Venechmar Itzla Haskio, Vatikach Mipir Vatochal. Okay, Vatitengam Isha Ima Vayochal, Vatipokachno Eine Shneim, Vayeduki Erumimim. But it never says, Vayachshavu Kihim Kelakim. It doesn't say that. In other words, he said, Vishim Kelakim. On the contrary, she saw how the Torah gives a vivid description of the lusting situation, you know, the taiva, I mean, the instinctual desire in the scene. But it doesn't say anything about the ego there. It's interesting. So he predicted, basically, that they're going to have an ultimate egoistic experience. The Torah seems to describe a different experience, a libidinous experience. You see? The only thing I could say about that is that it seems that when the instinct merges with the intelligence, at first it results in libidinous activity. In libidinous activity. Which means that the person uses his mind in order to achieve physical, sensual, instinctual gratification. That's the first thing that happens then. Okay, like a playboy type of mentality. All right, but after a while, the person isn't satisfied with that, and then it gets thrown into the area of the ego. So therefore, the Nachash himself was really in the more advanced state, so to speak. You see, and that's why he told the Isha what's going to happen to her. But it didn't happen that way, because the first time when the instinct merges with the intelligence, what happens first is there is an outburst of sensuality. You see, the sensual world opens up first. Then later, there's a certain dissatisfaction with the sensual world, becomes tired of it, and then it goes into the sphere of the ego. See, Haman was already the advanced man of imperfection. He reached a chalzein shovel. He wasn't into the world of the sensual. Sensual, like we say all the time. Sensual, a person in the world of sensual can't really do that much harm. Okay, the dangerous man is the man in the world of the egoistic. So I believe that's what the Torah is portraying over here. That is a truth. It's true. It's true insofar as man is concerned in general. Of course, you see, the child really can appreciate the world of the instinctual and sensual, but really doesn't have much idea of ego. That's why people look at children as not being corrupt. Because corruption is really stems from the ego. The child doesn't really have that kind. The child's into the world of the enjoyable, the sensual, physical. Okay, so that's why they're considered by people to be innocent. So even though Yada says that's the kuliyat zara, because it doesn't matter. It's controlled. There's no faculty that's controlling, analyzing, controlling the activities. So it's yetzer hara. But you see in the child that the instinctual precedes the egoistic. The egoistic comes later on the scene. I think that is what is meant over here by the way the Torah portrays what the snake predicted would happen and what actually happened. And I think that fits in line with the concept of Hitl Bo Zuama. Because Zuama means like a slight contamination. Okay, like sweat. I mean, so it's like something. It means to say that even though she never experienced the Yisem Kelokim, but a part came through. Part of it came through. Part of it did come through. And that's why, and then that left permanent traces on man. Permanent traces on man. In my Marasina, I removed it. Okay. See, the Am Ha'aretz is really disorganized, basically. I mean, he's going in all different directions. It's not. Amalek is intelligence. It's using the faculty of intelligence and is organized to the highest degree. I mean, that's Nazi Germany. I mean, you don't have to look far, unfortunately. Nazi Germany, that's exactly what it was. And I mentioned that's the pasuk. Reishis goyim Amalek. It's Reishis goyim because they're organized and the whole world was impressed with Germany. But Vachariso Adeoved. That's the most dangerous form of man, and Achrisa Deor, the end is total destruction.